Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. That, my friends, is the sound of mahogany and spruce and master craftsmanship. A big, beautiful guitar built in a sawdust-covered workshop in the town of Rugby, Virginia. Population, 7. It's being played by its maker, Wayne Henderson. He makes some of the very best guitars in the world. He does it the old-fashioned way for greats like Doc Watson and Eric Clapton, Gillian Welch, and a kind of Stradivarius of the Blue Ridge Mountains, making the most sought-after of guitars the most American of instruments. This hour on Point, we sit down with Wayne Henderson to talk music, wood, craft, beauty, and to give thanks for it all. You can join the conversation. Do you love a good guitar? Do you know it when you hear it? Do you know what makes it great? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from Roanoke, Virginia, are Wayne Henderson and his longtime partner, guitarist, fiddler, and singer, Helen White. They've driven a couple of hours with a car full of Henderson guitars from Rugby, Virginia, to join us this day before Thanksgiving. And I can't tell you how grateful we are, and you will surely soon be, for their generosity. Wayne Henderson is a master guitar maker, some say the best in the world. He built his first guitar at the age of 14 in 1961. He's built guitars for greats like his old friend Doc Watson and rock guitarist Eric Clapton, and for regular folks and friends. He plays, too, a 12-time winner of the Guitar Championship at the Galax Old Fiddlers Convention, one of the oldest and largest in the country. In 1995, he was awarded the National Heritage Award by the National Endowment for the Arts. Wayne Henderson, thank you so very much for being there today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
It's great.
It's really great to be here.
It's wonderful to have you. And Helen White is a wonderful fiddler and guitarist in her own right, and she's the founder of the Junior Appalachian Musicians Program, of which we will hear more in this hour. Helen, thank you for driving over.
It's great to be here today. Thank you.
Oh, it's great to have you both in Peace in the Valley. I should say, what a beautiful, beautiful piece that is. Wow, Wayne, and you brought guitars with you, Wayne and Helen. Tell us, what have you got? What you've got 4 or 5 guitars? What do you have there, yeah, Wayne?
We brought at least 4 guitars here, and one of them, this old mahogany dreadnought. You know, a dreadnought is a D size, which is larger size guitar.
Mm-hmm. Bluegrass size,
and,
big size.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it's mahogany, an old guitar that I've been playing for 31 years. It is made in the late 70s, and I have number 400, which is sort of it's an OM, it's sort of a fancy one that has pearl and abalone inlaid all over it, and made out of Brazilian rosewood.
Mm-hmm.
And I also brought one sort of real similar to that guitar, but it's one that I just finished at 12:30 last night, I guess 12:30 in the morning this morning.
Wow. And if I've got it right here, Wayne, that is Wayne Henderson's guitar, number 498, and that is 498 since you began making guitars.
Yep, that's right, since I started putting numbers in them. And I made, you know, in the 60s, I started putting a serial number in them, and I've numbered every one of them. And I made some before that out of cardboard boxes or anything I could find around the house or the farm there. And so it would, you know, anything I could find to make guitars. But I made a few before that that didn't have numbers. But the first one I made that I thought was a playable guitar, I put a number in.
Right. Wow. You make them great and you play them great. I wish you'd just pick up one of what you've got there and play something for us, Wayne.
Okay. Well, we're going to play an old tune called Nothing to It. I learned from Doc Watson, who's one of my heroes, and somebody that I really admire and love, and he's still picking at 87 years old.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to play a tune called Nothing to It from him.
Glad you're right there today, Wayne. Wayne Henderson playing
Thank
Doc
you.
Watson. Nothing to it. Come right down from Doc Watson. Oh, my goodness. That's fine. Which guitar was that on, Wayne?
That was on my old one, the old 31-year-old mahogany number 52. And it's a guitar that I've played more than any guitar that I've ever played in my life, you know, and played it fairly regular. This, since I built number 400, I use it a lot because it's fancy and pretty, and sometimes I need to show my work.
To show off a little bit. Yeah. Helen White, you're right there next to Wayne. Does he smile when he plays that? I read here that he looks like a straight Willie Nelson here. But does he grin when he plays a good guitar?
He does grin, and more than his mouth, though, it's fun to watch his eyes. He's got this little twinkle in his eyes that would make him a great candidate to be Santa Claus in the mall.
Helen, I'm sorry we kept him up until 12:30 this morning, making number 498 so he could bring in a new one. But that must not be the first time you've seen him out in the workshop till all hours.
Actually, he does most of his work between probably 11 in the morning and 2 in the morning.
Well, that's most of the day. That's a long, good stretch. You know, we've got so many people calling in here. People on the web and online. Here's Brett says, in Old Virginia says, you know, good old Wayne Henderson, the man can make one hell of a guitar. He's played one of your guitars, Wayne says, like butter. He's an amazing mountain finger style player, too. And Brett also talks to us about your program, Helen, Jam, Junior Appalachian, was it Mountain? Music.
Junior Appalachian Musicians.
Musicians. We're going to talk about that. I want to get our listeners on here. People are really gushing in for this. Dave in Charleston, South Carolina. Dave, you're on the air with Wayne Henderson and Helen White.
Howdy. It's an honor to talk to you folks. It's a real great picking I heard there. Quick question for you. Actually, first, my friends David and Ivy Shepherd up in Galax, and I think they won the Old Time Music Award up there this year, which is great for them. Question for you on old guitars. I just bought my daughter a 1935 Gibson Kalamazoo to give to her for Christmas this year. She's just learning to play guitar, and she's been playing fiddle for about 6 years now, and she's 11. What do you think of some of these old guitars that are out there and comparing the wood of a newer guitar to, say, the wood of an older? They say that the older wood tends to be a bit better as far as quality and from the old growth forest. What are your thoughts on that? And I've never had an honor to play one of your guitars because I'm a lefty, first of all, and there's not a lot of them out there. Just wanted to kind of get your ideas on what your thoughts might be on some of that wood you're playing.
Dave, it's a great big question. We're going to spend some time on it in this hour. We got a break coming up, but what do you say off the top of your head, Wayne, on age of wood?
Well, it's when it's aged out like that, I think the most important part of that aging is when it's in an instrument. I've made guitars out of wood that's some of this rosewood is from the 1700s, and it's as old as you'd find any wood. But I think the important place for it to age is in an instrument where it gets vibrated. And they say the vibrations of the strings sending vibrations back and forth through the grain of the wood lines the molecules of the wood up. So the next vibration that comes through there can go easier. And so that makes the aging process most important, I think, when it's in an instrument and gets vibrated and played. And so I like old wood because the older the wood is, it's usually the better quality. It's old growth, and it's certainly been laying around. It's dried, and it's not going to move around as much with humidity and temperature changes. Mm-hmm. And so old wood is important to me. I like to have old wood, but also, you know, good wood is done anywhere.
We're going to talk about exactly what that means. National Treasure Wayne Henderson is with us, Helen White as well, joining us today from Roanoke, Virginia. They spent a couple hours driving over to be with us on the day before Thanksgiving, and we're talking about the American guitar with one of the greatest guitar makers in the world. We'll go out with The Cat Came Back. Here's Wayne playing. You can join us. Do you know the sound of a great guitar? Can you feel it? Do you love it? 800-423-8255 is our number. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Up in a balloon, he said, would you give him to the man in the moon? That balloon burst open and everybody said, about 90 miles away, they picked the man up dead. The cat came back, the cat came back. Yeah, they thought he was a goner, but the cat came back cause he couldn't stay away.
Pick one, Doc.
Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking today with America's guitar maker, the Stradivarius of the Blue Ridge Mountains, Wayne Henderson, who today, from his little Virginia workshop, makes some of the most sought-after guitars in the world. Helen White is with us as well. We're going to hear from her. She plays guitar and fiddle and sings a pretty good tune, too, and is very involved in getting young Appalachian kids into this fabulous music. You can join the conversation today. Do you know what makes the magic of a great guitar? The deep resonance, the bright notes, the mellow, smoky, wondrous voice. Is the guitar the voice of America? And can you hear the difference? The blends of redwood, spruce, walnut, mahogany. Guitar players, how do you know when you're playing a great guitar? We're at 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. That's Wayne Henderson behind us playing Little Rosewood Casket. Let's get a call. Marshall in Nashua, New Hampshire. You're on the air with Wayne Henderson.
Thank you so much, Dave, for having me on. I just wanted to share a thought. When I heard the program today, it was the idea that I've bought several guitars through my experience playing, and the bug sort of bit me later in life, sort of halfway through college. And although I'm a high school English teacher, so for financial reasons I haven't had a chance to buy sort of an amazing instrument, it's still something that my brother and I really enjoy, going into guitar stores, playing other people's instruments, and just really letting sort of the ear do the telling to you, sort of, if that makes sense. It's sort of, I don't know, sort of like speaking to the soul, that those warm notes sometimes can sort of communicate to people in a way that, you know, words can't. And I think sometimes it's just something you have to sense when you start playing guitar, and I thought that was the best gauge that I've ever found for an instrument is the ear and just your gut feeling.
Absolutely, and it can definitely go where words do not. Marshall, I appreciate your call. Let's get one more here for Wayne and Helen. John in Higgins, Pennsylvania. John, you're on the air.
Thank you for having me, and may I say to Wayne and Helen, it's a privilege to know you. Wayne, what do you think was the one of the funniest things that ever happened to you when building a guitar? And besides building a guitar, the people need to know just the fine work that you do trying to bring on music with the kids in your area. I mean, it's there's no ego in you. You are one heck of a nice person. And please, let people know what you are doing to help kids continue the love of music. And with that, I'm going to sit back and listen to what you have to say.
Well, John, I appreciate your call. We will definitely look at that that program for young musicians. I don't know, funny things in the workshop, Wayne, there got to be over all these years. I mean, it's I don't know, is it high tension work? Is it funny work? What about your funniest moment out there?
Well, that's pretty hard to come up with. You know, I have all kinds of gadgets and tricks in there. You know, there's a snake laying under things, you know, that's been whittled or carved out of a piece of wood that looks like one anyway, and people pick up things and no telling what you're going to find under it. And it's always funny to me to see somebody get into something like that. And we just have fun in there pretty much all the time.
I guess it's your standard joke. You may be tired of it, but you say you just pick up a wood to make a guitar and just carve on it till it looks like a guitar.
Yeah, you cut away everything that does not look like a guitar on that piece of wood. And that's I think I stole that line from Michelangelo.
Right, cut away everything that doesn't look like a guitar. That's great. And, yeah. Helen, tell us about your Junior Appalachian Musicians Program. What's it do? How's it work? What's it for?
Well, I started JAM about 11 years ago when I had been a guidance counselor in a public school in the mountains. And so I knew way too well some of the sadder stories of children in the mountains, and there's still a lot of poverty. And I had discovered that the natural transmission of the music had broken down probably two generations ago. So not only our kids were clueless as to their heritage, but also their parents were. Mm-hmm. So I developed a program which got a lot of attention right off the bat, and we raised money and bought fiddles, banjos, mandolins, guitars, and even a couple of string basses, and got kids in an after-school program learning to play this music from some of the local traditional musicians in the community. They teach by ear, and it's really caught on, and is, I could tell you some very heartwarming stories of the impact of children. It's caught on to the point now where I took the great leap of faith and quit my day job in the public schools, and it's now in three states. There are 17 programs, and right now we're serving about 750 mountain kids.
That is a beautiful tradition to take forward. And I should say right here, we've got links at our website, onpointradio.org, to Helen's organization, Junior Appalachian Musicians Program, JAM, and to Wayne's annual guitar festival and competition. You can see all that at the website. We are so happy that you are doing that work. Wayne, if we can get down to basics for a second here, I think your inspiration came from the old Martin guitars out of Nazareth, Pennsylvania, some of the very best ever made in the depths of the Great Depression. What drew you to those guitars, and are they still your kind of model, the mold you're working in?
Yeah, they sure are. I really appreciate those things so much, and I remember from when I was a little kid, I couldn't afford a good guitar, and that's sort of what got me into making guitars, and there was one wonderful old Martin guitar in the community. It belonged to E.C. Ball, who was a great folk singer and a mentor to me and a friend and a neighbor. Mm-hmm. And he would let me look at that guitar, and I'd draw a few patterns from it, and that sort of got me started. And I've always done repair work on various things, and especially a lot of instruments. And every time I got one of those nice old Martin guitars, and, you know, I would study how every chisel mark, sandpaper marks, everything, try to figure out how it was made. And that's been my learning process for building, was studying those old guitars. And I respect them highly and still love to play them. I have several. And I just really appreciate the work that they do over there. It's one of the oldest family-owned companies in the United States. It's been in operation since 1833.
And, of course, it was those guitars from the 30s that are now so famed. What is it about the way those were made in a tradition, I guess, that you're carrying on? What makes them different? What is it about the way they were, I don't know, the materials used, the actual construction, the crafting of the guitar that gives them that fabulous sound. What is it?
Well, I think, the quality of the materials that you get. The wood was so good back in those days, and the craftsmanship was meticulous. And I think I do my work now pretty much the same that their shop did in the 30s. And nowadays, they still make absolutely great, wonderful guitars, but they're done with fancy computer-driven machines. Now, and I mean, I could turn out a lot more guitars if I had a CNC machine, but I don't think it would be much fun.
Right.
And I just like to carve and whittle and craft things. And that's the way they did it back in those 20s and 30s, and they had to. They didn't have anything but hand tools. And that's the way that, I think that's what makes them so good, and or at least what makes it, me like them so good. Mm-hmm. It's my sound I like to hear and everything.
I guess yes, Helen, yes, please.
I've noticed Wayne in the shop when he goes to scallop the braces on an instrument, he'll cut a little of the wood off with his pocket knife, and then he'll tap the wood and listen to it, and then he'll cut a little more off. And I think that sensitivity is lacking with those computer-driven machines that probably existed in the old Martin shop.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say scallop the braces, of course, you're talking about the bracing inside the body of the guitar. We don't see, a guitar is an engineering marvel because you have to have this very thin wood, but then you've got high tension down the guitar strings, of course. Wayne, I wish you'd just walk us through very basic. How do you make a guitar? What are the basic steps?
Well, you've got that just right. The thin, light wood and with a lot of tension that's on it. I feel like a guitar is the best it can be, when it's just on the edge of, collapsing or blowing up or whatever. But it still has to be made strong enough to last for years. But you have to get close to that edge to get the greatest sound, I feel like.
And, you soak that wood so that you can get the wonderful curvature of the guitar, and, of course, the material itself is key. I think you brought some great tone woods there. I don't know if you can bring some of those up to the microphone and just help us see if we can hear what you've got and the difference.
I'm going to pick up a piece of wood here, and I do soak it in water and take a hot pipe or a bending iron and things that, homemade contraptions that have light bulbs in them and, the things that I was able to make.
To heat
mostly,
it and curve it and make the
and
shape.
And heat it and curve it, and it's amazing how that piece of wood forgets how it used to be and stays curved like a guitar side. And what Helen was talking about, the trimming the little braces on the inside has got a lot to do with the sound. I'm going to pick up a piece of rosewood right here.
Okay.
That I think is probably the best tone wood in the world. It comes from Brazil, and like everything, it's hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to, most all of it's recycled and from old things that's been used or either dug up stumps and where the trees used to be, and they don't export it anymore. Mm-hmm. But you can find it sometimes. Now I'm going to pick this piece of wood up.
Ooh.
And while he's doing that, I'll point out that this is perfectly legal rosewood.
Good.
It has all the appropriate CITES papers. He was able to find a source in Brazil that the gypsies dig up these old stumps that are carbon dated back, as he said earlier, into the 1700s.
Wow.
So this is perfectly legal.
I know you've gone to great extents even pulling rosewood out of a table that was once in Truman Capote's yacht. That's good.
I actually cut up a little piece of that yesterday, and I still saved a few pieces. Some fella really wanted a piece of Truman Capote's yacht put into his guitar, so I cut a little diamond-shaped inlay I'm going to inlay in the peg head.
Let us hear this rosewood. We can almost hear it tinkling in the background there. What's it sound like? Ooh. Oh. It's almost hard to believe it's wood. It's almost up there into something metal.
It does sound like a piece of metal. And I've worked with all kinds of wood for over 50 years, and I've never seen a piece of wood or heard a piece of wood that rings like that.
Wow.
And it just, I don't know, it just sounds like a piece of some kind of a piece of metal, or it's amplified or something. I think that's one reason it makes such great-sounding guitars.
Talk about brightness. Yeah. Talk about beauty. Now, yeah. Now you've got a couple of guitars there. One, I think your old number 52, your mahogany dreadnought, big guitar, and then maybe another, your 400, fancier, with the rosewood in it. Could you play a little something for us to let us hear the difference and maybe explain to us what we should listen for?
Okay. I'm going to play the old mahogany. Of course, these guitars are different sizes, you know, which affects the sound of them, too.
Sure.
And I'm going to play this old mahogany guitar first, which is well-aged and been played for years. But it's made out of mahogany, which tends to have a sort of a brighter tone. I'm going to play you just a little bit of a tune, like one round of a tune on it, and then I'm going to get the other guitar.
Mm-hmm. Banks of Ohio, I think we're going to hear a little bit of here.
Was the old mahogany guitar.
Okay, beautiful. And then guitar 400. This is Brazilian rosewood with a Sitka spruce top. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I guess it's got an Appalachian top.
Okay,
but,
good.
But it's the same, so.
Like you say, it sounds just a little deeper in the throat there. Not quite that brightness of your mahogany, but beautiful.
And I have another one. I'll play this on Helen's guitar. This one is the most of the tops I use is Appalachian spruce, and just because it's my favorite wood. Mm-hmm. But the back and sides of this guitar is made out of Indian rosewood. And it's a more common thing. Most of the factory-made guitars now use it, and it still can be had easily enough. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to play the same little tune on this on the Indian rosewood.
Banks of Ohio, three ways, and are we lucky or what? Let me get a call right here. Erica in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Erica, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Tom, and hello to Wayne and Helen. Great to hear you.
Howdy.
I wanted to add to something that the callers have mentioned about you depend on your ear. It's also a body thing. You know, the wood resonates, and you feel it, and your body warms it up, so it makes it smell in a certain way, and it's a very total experience. And I was handed at a picking session a guitar of Wayne's several years ago. I wasn't told what it was. I didn't see the headstock, so I didn't know what I was playing. But it was so striking to me as I played it that my eyes filled up with tears. And I said, "What is this?" And they laughed and they said, "Well, that's the guitar that Wayne Henderson made." And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. I've had a chance to play several other instruments of his since, and they all have this quality of just reaching down into you for the music that comes out.
Oh, Erica, bless you. I really appreciate that call. That is a
thank you so much.
Welling up with tears just playing it, not even knowing where it came from. We're with America's guitar maker, Wayne Henderson, this hour, and fiddler, guitarist, educator, Helen White. You can join us. What is it about the guitar that makes us feel connected, at home, grounded, American? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook on this day before Thanksgiving. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about what it takes to make a great guitar with America's guitar maker, the Stradivarius of the Blue Ridge Mountains, Wayne Henderson. He joins us today from Roanoke, Virginia. He's driven over with Helen White, a fiddler, guitarist, educator, great educator who's with us there as well today. Behind us right now, Alabama Jubilee from W.C. Henderson and Company, CD put out with Wayne and his accompanied there by Jeff Little and Tim Lewis, Herb Key, and others. You can join the conversation today. What's your question for our guitar master craftsman, for guitarist, fiddler, educator, Helen White? Have you gone in search of a great guitar? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Let's get a call from Watertown, Massachusetts, and David. David, you're on the air with Wayne and Helen.
Hey, Tom. Thrilled to be on your show. Hi, Wayne, Helen.
Howdy.
Hello.
How are you doing? I have been playing guitar sort of on and off all my life and finally got to a point where I could get a couple of finer instruments. I have a pair of Martins, a 12-string and a 6-string, and both of them have hairline cracks in the front in the spruce, and when I picked them up, they sounded great, and I didn't really give a lot of consideration to the fact that they're cracked, and I wondered, you know, your opinion as to whether or not I should just keep them the way they are, or should I have, I'm afraid to have someone, you know, put glue in there or something, and just wanted to get your take on that.
Oh, it's a great question. Wayne, I know you started out, you got started repairing guitars. What do you say? A couple of Martins, Lucky David, what should you do with them?
Well, if those cracks are just tiny around the edge somewhere, they probably wouldn't amount to too much, but I would recommend getting a little bit of, getting some luthier or somebody to glue them back a little bit. That won't hurt a thing in the world. And they most likely came from the humidity change. And when you get a crack in a top of a guitar or anywhere, most of the time it has to do with, especially if it's a Martin, you know, they certainly used aged wood and good quality material and just have to, especially wintertime, you have to keep a real close eye on the humidity changes. You know, that piece of wood has gotten some moisture in it from the summertime. You can't keep that from happening. And when you have to have heat in your house in the winter, mm-hmm. the humidity will go down, and that wood's going to shrink. And lots of times it gets little cracks, which I don't worry about them too much myself. I mean, my guitars, some of them have little cracks that as long as it still plays good and sounds good, even though I'm a builder and fixer, I usually don't mess with them. But, you know, if it's something that's noticeable and might possibly move further, I would go to have it checked and get somebody to glue it or put a little cleat on the inside of it.
You might want to look for one guitar man down in Rugby, Virginia, David. He might just be helpful on the Martin front. Thanks for your call. One right here from Nashville, Tennessee. James, you're on the air with Wayne Henderson and Helen White.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Pretty well.
Good.
Hey, I'm a professional guitar player in Nashville. I have a Martin D18 and a local builder, a Crusa guitar. It's a baritone. And that was actually, well, two things. I wanted to talk about the baritone, if Wayne had ever been interested in building a baritone. And I was also going to tell him that one of my friends, Tyler Grant, who is a previous Winfield champion, I got to play on one of Wayne's guitars probably about a couple years ago. A very, very remarkable experience, to say the least.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, Tyler is a wonderful picker, and he's won, like I say, at Winfield, also up at my festival. And the baritone guitar, I've never made one before. I've just only seen a few. And I think they end up with an extra fret at the peg head end some way, don't they, and tuned a little lower. Some way,
mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly
yeah.
what they are, but that's something I've never done, but I've thought about it, and I've just stayed so busy making the standard old guitars that I haven't experimented with something new like that, to me anyway.
Hey, James, I appreciate your call. Standard, quote-unquote, I guess. I want to just, I'm sure everybody does, hear more music from you, Wayne and Helen. Helen, I think you've got a duet here. Sweet Fern, tell us about this song, Helen.
Well, this is a song that was collected by A.P. Carter, and he was one of the most prolific collectors probably in all time as far as getting traditional songs from the mountains out into the public. And this tune actually was called Sweet Bird when he collected it. But in order for him to claim the copyright, I understand, there were certain changes made, and it became Sweet Fern.
Now you're Oh, I'm sorry, Helen, excuse me, yes?
I was just going to say Sweet Fern is easier to sing than Sweet Bird.
Okay,
anyway.
Right, easier to voice, and you both got your guitars out here, so yours is also built by Wayne, number 196. And
yes, it is.
And Wayne's got his old standby, Sweet Fern. Love to hear it.
Thank you.
Springtime is coming, sweet lonesome bird, your echo in the woodland I hear. Down in the meadow, so lonesome you're calling, while the moonlight shining so clear. And I know he's away in a far distant land, a land that lies over the sea. Go fly to him singing your sweet little song and tell him to come back to me. Sweet fern, sweet fern, oh tell me, is my darling still true? Sweet fern, sweet fern, I'll be just as happy as you. Sweet fern, is he thinking of me and the promise he made long ago? He said he'd return from over the sea. Oh, why do the years go so slow? And I know he's away in a far distant land, land that lies over the sea. Go fly to him singing your sweet little song and tell him to come back to me. Sweet fern, sweet fern, oh tell me, is my darling still true? Sweet fern, sweet fern, I'll be just as happy as you.
Helen White and Wayne Henderson with Sweet Fern and a couple of the greatest guitars in the world. How lucky we are today. Let's get a call right here. Becky in May King, Kentucky. You're on the air, Becky. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how are you today? Hey, Wayne.
Hey, howdy.
Howdy. So good to talk to you again. And I'm a long-term friend of yours and colleague over at Merlefest.
Cool.
And I just wanted to say howdy and happy Thanksgiving to you guys both. And, my husband Art and I both say howdy and happy Thanksgiving to y'all.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Same
to you all.
We'll take that right there, Becky, and same to you. Thank you for it. One more right here. New Hope, Virginia. Ron, you're on the air.
Howdy, Wayne. How you doing today?
Good.
Wayne, everybody knows you, Wayne.
Yeah, I recognize that voice.
What do you know, Ron?
Oh, yeah, this Wood guy. Haven't been down to see you in a while. Sorry about that. Heck, I wanted to say something to the listeners. You know, I met Wayne Henderson by accident and started taking Wood to him, and he graciously took me in, let me stay at his house, and taught me to build guitars, taught me a lot about Wood, and I know he's one of the greatest musicians alive, and the best guitar builder. But what amazes me about Wayne Henderson is this: he's had a set of guitar picks in his pocket for 42 years. What kind of dedication do you have to something to hold on to a set of picks for 42 years?
Oh, that's great. And you bring some of the wood in, Ron, that Wayne works on in his workshop there in Rugby?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I go out in the mountains and cut spruce, and I accidentally met Wayne Henderson, and I was teaching robotics. And as January the 1st, I'm opening a guitar wood company up, and I'm going to be marketing to the big customers, and I haven't seen Wayne here in a while, and that's why I've been busy cutting thousands of guitar sets ready to go to Luther Mercantile and the big builders, and now I just love to build guitars, but when you have to build them on schedule, it doesn't become as much fun. And I love looking at wood.
Right.
And I can just look at set after set after set of wood. And I had a really good opportunity to get in the wood business with Hearn Hardwoods in Oxford, Pennsylvania. And, boy, Wayne, we're going to have some great coa now. It's not that you don't have great coa, but we've been handpicking some logs out and sawing them. And,
hey, we got a little guitar wood competition going on here. I can hear it, Ron, and I'm very happy for your call. He mentioned schedule. Wayne, you as I understand it, you left Eric Clapton waiting for about 10 years for his guitar. You're not exactly a got-to-have-it-done-right-now guy.
No, not for sure. I like working on what I feel like working on and what I'm excited about, and I feel like I do a little better work like that if it's absolutely fun. And sometimes I have to push something out that somebody's really needs real bad or been waiting on a long time or something. But most of the time I'd like to work on things that I'm excited about, and sometimes that doesn't make for a good schedule, you know. And sometimes, you know, I'm sorry about sometimes that people, you know, one gets ahead of the other, and I don't pay that much attention to my scheduling thing, you know. And some people say it's what makes my guitars good. I make them when I'm feeling right, you know.
Well, I don't doubt that. Does we have so many calls? I'm sorry, Wayne, but let me get one more here. Steve in Henderson, Kentucky. Steve, you're on there with Wayne Henderson.
Hi, how are you? What an honor. I'm an hour late for an appointment now because I've just been sitting in my truck listening to the show.
Oh, good.
And I have one question. I've got an old K guitar from the 50s, and I've played probably 20 or 30 instruments that are the same manufacturer, same model, and none of them are as good a quality as the one I'm lucky enough to own. I was able to pick out a Martin one day. I bought my dream guitar, and I was able to pick it out of a lot of six, and one of them was just spoke to me a little bit more, and it seems to have a little bit more magic than the other production guitars. And I'd love to hear Wayne's thoughts on how individual instruments sometimes just seem to have a certain quality that helps them to stand out over the production guitars of the same run. And I'm going to hang up and listen off the air.
Good luck, Steve. Happy Thanksgiving. What about that unique character? Where's it come from, Wayne? What about it?
Well, I think just every once in a while, you know, not exactly accidentally, but occasionally I think the sets of wood come together, the piece of spruce and the piece of mahogany or rosewood or whatever, that the tonal qualities and the vibrations of those pieces of wood happen to come together that I don't think any luthier or anything else has any control of. And it just, that's something that just happens to happen once in a while. And I know I notice it in my guitars. I try to make them all sound great. But once in a while, you have one that's just absolutely outstanding. And you don't really know what happened, you know, because you do the same quality of work on everything and the same glue, the same size, dimensions. I think it has something to do with the quality, tonal quality of certain pieces of wood. And then when you put them together, they happen to come together in that perfect lineup somehow. That makes a great guitar.
There's the miracle. We've only got a couple of minutes, but would you play just a minute of the one you built last night, kind of up against the deadline for us here? Thanks for that. This is number 498 in the Wayne Henderson line. Steel guitar rag, just a little of it, Wayne.
Okay. And thank you so much for having us on, and everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
And this guitar was strung up, you know, 11 hours ago or so.
Wayne Henderson with his guitar number 498 just off the workbench last night. What a privilege on this day before Thanksgiving to have him with us, the master craftsman of the guitar. And Helen White, the wonderful Helen White, her music education program is the Junior Appalachian Musicians Program. You can find a link to it. I'm sure they'd appreciate your contribution at our website, onpointradio.org. To Wayne Henderson and Helen White, joining us today from Roanoke, Virginia. They drove a couple of hours with a car full of guitars to be there. Just beautiful. Wayne Henderson, Helen White, thank you so much, and happy Thanksgiving to each of you. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll go out with the Carter Family Medley from Wayne Henderson. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.